All right, here we go. So let's go to Romans 15:13. The Bible says that, and Paul says this, now may the God of hope, boy, that right there is just so good. God is a God of hope. And the older I get, you know, when I first came on fire in my early, late teens, early 20s, I was just all cranked about faith. The righteous man lived by faith. We sang that song today. It was awesome. The righteous, you know, we live by faith, experience the grace of God, God forgiven, and all that. But boy, I tell you, as I get older, I realize how important hope is. You can't live long without hope. I think you might live longer without food than without hope. Hope, God is a God of hope. And I don't know how many times throughout the week I'll remind myself, God, you're the God of hope. I need hope. I said, Pastor, do you get discouraged? Yeah, I do. I don't want to sit there and just tell you how bad it gets, but it gets bad. I mean, don't think you're ever alone when you just feel like get up in the morning and feel crappy. And don't even know why. You know, and so often, you know, we try to look at circumstances, you know, well, maybe it's because of this or that. I tell you the truth, a lot of times, the circumstances can be horrible, and I'm just full of hope and full of faith. Other times, you know, everything's going pretty good, and I'm down in the dumps. There's a spiritual thing about inside of us, a spiritual battle that goes on to knock out our hope. But God is a God of hope. He says, now may the God of hope fill you. Boy, when it says fill, it really means fill. It means to fill until it's running over. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So as we're believing, there's this joy and peace that can come to us. And when I find out I don't have any peace, or I, you know, my peace is dwindling, or my joy is dwindling, and that's a big one for me. I'm not sure why. But anyway, I've got to remind myself to get back into faith and to believe. And sometimes I find out in my own personal life, I'm not saying so much about what I'm believing for anymore. It's who I believe in. I just say, I believe in you. I believe in your character. I believe in your nature. You know, the things will all come, but it's really, your faith is really not for things. It's in somebody. You trust him. I trust you, God. You know, you've heard me say this, but for a long time I just come into town or whatever I'm doing and say, I love you, God, I love you, God. And one day he just said, would you get bored if somebody just sat around and said, I love you all day long? I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, it gets a little old. You know, isn't it funny how God can talk to you in your own language and your own, you know, he just says, you know, he was basically saying, stop telling me you love me so much. That may sound strange. But I said, okay, what would be better? He says, tell me that you trust me. Man, it changed my life. I just started saying, I trust you. I don't know what's going to happen in all these circumstances. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what's happening right now, but I trust you. And so he goes on to say, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful that God has instructed us from Genesis to Revelation that he wants us to increase. He wants us to dominate. He wants us to multiply. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants us to be full of peace. He wants to prosper us. You know, there are a lot of people bad-mouthing prosperity preachers, and maybe somebody's preaching off in an air a little bit. But I'm telling you, you can't read the Bible and not see that God wants you blessed. He just constantly talks about wanting to bless us in every way. And I want to abound, and I know my desire, Lisa and I, we've been praying a lot more. We've been gathering together and just praying in the Spirit together more, just for that this hope would abound in all of us by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our great effort. I'm going to just deviate you a little bit here, kind of, but it's like we all have sin. We all have things that we miss the mark on, you know. And by the way, it actually says, you know, one of the sins is that which is not of faith is sin. So it's not just doing wrong things. It's just sometimes not doing the right thing and not being in faith. If you're not in faith, you're actually in sin. But here's the beautiful thing. God has made the provision. We sang it today, the great exchange. He will forgive us of anything. You know, when you preach that and share that with people, I picked up a lady hitchhiker once and was ministering to her. She just looked like death warmed over. And we got to share with her. I said, you know, God loves you. And she said, God couldn't forgive me of what I've done. And I said, no, he could. He will. Well, I tell you what, if there's anything that I will never back off on, I'll never doubt, my head may, but my heart just is God will forgive you. And she opened up and I said, what did you? She said, I killed my baby. She didn't have an abortion. She had the baby, then she killed the baby. Man, I tell you, when I was a young person and when she told me that, it was like, what? But man, I hope to God I was faster in my heart. I hope it hit my face fast, but man, I did not let my face radiate any doubt. I said, absolutely, she will forgive you. Absolutely. And here's the deal, if he doesn't forgive her, you and I are all done.
Yeah.
You know, there is nothing that he won't forgive. But here's something that's important. If you try to justify your sin in any way, you cancel forgiveness. How could we do that? Well, part of it is saying something like this. Well, I did wrong, but I did it because of my dad. When you act because of my dad, you're trying to justify why you did it. Now, here's a beautiful thing. It's not about finding the blame. It's not about accepting the blame for what you did. It's just saying, I have sinned. I missed the mark. And I want you to forgive me. He will always forgive you. Now, but if you justify it, well, I did it because my wife, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the first thing Adam did. Try to blame somebody else. You don't get saved. You don't get forgiven when you try to justify why you did what you did. Now, there might be a lot of, a lot of it is justifiable that you actually were, guys in military were commanded to do things. You know, bosses commanded to do things. You know, little kids were demanded. Pastors have demanded. It's amazing how many pastors have talked women into adultery. And they just thought, they're so geared, and that's why around here we don't go that way. They're so geared, just whatever you got to obey. You got the one above you, And they're just so geared they're supposed to obey their pastor. And I mean, firsthand, relationship with people that the pastor talked them into at all. So it's not like you did have a lot of help missing. But boy, if you want to be forgiven, and most of us aren't in one of these situations to that degree, but there's people you're going to be ministering to, and will minister in this, is something you really want embedded in you, is to help them not justify what they did, just say, I did it and I want forgiven. And I want to be cleansed by this, and I don't want to carry the guilt, and I want my conscience cleaned. I won't teach them that today, but that's another big one. Okay? And you will always be forgiven. Now, sometimes I use terminology like this, that, or like at least in my relationship, sometimes we're just not clicking. Sometimes, we say chemistry isn't right or whatever. Or any relationship you have, sometimes there's an offense. You deal with people and you go, I think they're mad at me. I mean, it happens all the time, doesn't it? I think they might be upset with me. They walked by me and didn't even say. They didn't even look at me. I said hello and they just kept on going. And when you have that feeling, whether it's true or not, man, there's so many times it's not true. When Jody first kind of came on board, boy, she got nailed by so many people. They just got offended with her so bad. Because Jody growing up was this little hugger. She'd just come up and hug on people. You remember that? Man, she'd just come and hug people and love on them and all that. And then she got on board and started being on staff. Then she had responsibilities. And all of a sudden she went from just oh, I got this freedom just to hug on anybody. So I got responsibility. So she'd walk through the church with her, doing her task, and just walk right by people. And man, people got mad. I mean, not mad, just upset. And one couple came to her and just said, Joni, what did we ever do wrong to you? She says, what do you mean to do wrong to me? Said, you just ignored us. You've treated us bad. And she goes, what are you talking about? But she was on a task and she didn't even see them. So whether it's true or not, if you think somebody is not happy with you, it governs your behavior and what you radiate and what, you know, and it affects the relationship hugely. Man, sometimes, you know, you remember those cowboy shows where the cowboy, a tough cowboy, finally meets a beautiful woman, you know, and you go, man, what a sweet deal. And she loves him and she wants him, and he's been a tough and honest all the time, but he's so scared of the relationship. Now, the end of the movie is he rides off in the sunset on his horse. And as a kid, I just want to take my BB gun and shoot the TV. You stupid idiot. You dummy. You got something, you know, you got to find gold or you got to do that. And I thought, you're an idiot. Life is, you know, so for me, even as a kid, I knew life was about relationships. And the richest part of your life would be relationships. But let's go back to the very beginning. When Cain didn't do what he was supposed to do, and you can debate what that was or wasn't, but the real point of this is, the Bible says Cain didn't have regard for, God didn't have regard for Cain's offering. I don't really know. I mean, I got my ideas and theories, and it's important to know that. But really, don't miss this point. God didn't have regard for him. In other words, he didn't give Cain approval for what he did. And look how it affected Cain. Cain brought this great big offering, you know, to the Lord, and the Lord says, that's not what I asked for. That's all he said, in essence. And Cain, it affected him so bad that he got so upset that, and God actually came to him and said, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you sad? Why are you mad? By the way, if your countenance is down, if you're mad or whatever else, you got to remember that part of it is, it's not about somebody else. You can name people that you're mad at, but the very thing is, you're mad at yourself. And part of it is this very issue of regard. You don't feel like you're approved. And when you don't feel like you're approved, you got a couple options. I don't know, maybe more, but I think only really two. You got one, go to God and get forgiven. And get it right. Or get mad. And Cain got mad. But listen, isn't it interesting what God said? God himself goes to Cain. And he just says, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? If you do right, your countenance will be lifted up. You feel good about yourself again. You'll get right back into right relationship with me. It's not that hard. God was not disregarding Cain. It was just the offering he brought. He wasn't condemning Cain as saying, you're a bad person. He just said, you didn't do what I asked you to do. And I asked you to do it for your benefit, not mine. I'm not trying to get you to... He said, this is how I want to bless you. I want to increase you. But you got to, you know, just listen to me. And he said, sin is crouching at your door, Cain. I've shared this story, but I'm going to do it again. As a little kid, you know, walking around the farm, we had a lot of mice. Oh, my, we had mice. Man, you'd open those straw bales, Marty, and Dad, you remember that? Flip a bale over, and about 50 mice come running up your pant leg or all over, you know. Man, and then you go to the grain bin and just mice everywhere. Well, we had a machine shed, had some machinery in there, but we also had some grain bins and had little holes. And I came in there and we had a lot of wildcats. Wildcats are freaky, Jimmy. I think they're a little bit demonic. Because they're just wild. And there's this wildcat, and I'm a little boy, and I walk up and I see this wildcat in a stance, you know, looking at a knothole. And I just stopped and I froze. And that cat turned and looked at me like, leave me alone. you know. And it was like it wanted to run away from me, but it was fixated on that knothole. And so I just stood there for a little bit, and sure enough, this little mouse stuck his little head out just a little bit to see what was going on, and bam, man. And that cat was gone. Man, when I see God say to Cain, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. Well, you got to understand, he said sin can have a desire. And it's you. Don't underestimate how dangerous it is to stick your little head out. Because he can pounce on it before you know it.
What happened to me?
So don't treat this thing lightly when I'm sharing with you today. God wanted Cain to get his countenance up, and how was he going to do it? By knowing that God had regard for him, that God was pleased with him. Enoch walked with God, and he had the witness that he was pleasing God so much that God just took. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what really pleases God? You know, wasn't it Eric Lindell that was the guy, missionary to China, but he was a runner in the UK, and they made a movie out of him. I guess they actually, some people say that he really didn't say this, the movie did. He got the famous quote out of it, but he said, you know, I feel God's pleasure when I run. But here's the concept's awesome. Whatever you're doing, if you feel God's pleasure on you, it is powerful. When you're doing something and you feel your parents' pleasure as a kid, it's powerful. Man, when you don't feel your parents' pleasure, it's damaging. My whole life went downhill the day I decided that my dad did not take pleasure in me. It was a misconception on my part, but it was a moment in my life where in that 16 years of old age, I made the decision that my dad, I was never going to please him. And instead of repenting and trying to get it right, I just said, I was like, can't forget you, I'm done. I'm done being a good boy. And I went downhill. It's a powerful thing to feel like you got God's pleasure. It's a horrible thing when you do not feel like you're pleasing to your wife, to God, to your kids, to your parents, to anybody you meet on the street. You know, so many times it's a lie. And people are upset with you. They just got their own problems. And then you react, and then a chain reaction goes, and pretty soon everybody's down with it. Man, each other. If you're going to believe, you know, listen, we've all believed some lies, right? Why not go the other way and just say, I think everybody loves me? Yeah, it's not going to be true. But one of my happiest moments in life was when I was, you know, about 18 on, my aunt said to me, he says, man, you got to love John. He just thinks everybody likes him. And I go, well, I do. And it's a great feeling. I know they don't all like me now, but I think they will in time. But when I had the attitude to know me is to love me, I was one of the happiest times I've ever been in life. I think I just found something out. I think my joy issue is this. Man, if you don't believe a lie that everybody just adores you. You just are in a bad mood today and yelling and flipping you off. All right. Romans 1:8. I won't go into it all, but God's talking about how when you don't acknowledge him, everything goes downhill. The sexual sins increase like crazy. We're seeing it all over the world in a massive way. But I just want to pick it up in Romans 1:8. It says this, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, And this is people that, you know, some people have heard the gospel, some people had a Bible, just people that knew that there's a creator because they looked at the universe and said, there's somebody made this. And he just said, that little acknowledgement that there's a creator that made all this, and I need to figure him out. It says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. And when you give somebody over, it's like they're running to it, and you take your hand off them and let them run into it. You didn't push them into it. You didn't throw them into it. It was just like, okay, again, all right, you want it? You know, just like when your kid says, I'm going to leave home. Okay, here's your, you know, take your back seat. How many kids left home with their little bag and were home before sunset? It says, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Wow. You know what that means? Unapproved and rejected. By implication, worthless. By not acknowledging God, He gave them the permission to follow out what that means. You know, what they got was a mind that says, I'm disapproved and I'm worthless. And then all kinds of evil stuff coming out of them. Just like when I thought I was worthless to my dad, it did not make me want to go right. It made me want to go down. I'm just going to be a bad boy. Wow, that's powerful. So let's look at the opposite. And you and I get a witness that he has pleasure in us. As much power as the negative has, this has way more power to take us into a phenomenal joy, peace, power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Romans 2 says this. Right now, that was Romans 1, Romans 1, 28. If you can read the rest of it, it's all really good stuff. And by the way, finish out that verse, to do things which are not proper. When you have this mindset that you're not regarded, you'll do things that are not proper. You go kill your brother like Cain did. We get to Romans 2, and it says this, and you remember when Paul wrote this, he wasn't writing in the chapter and verse, it was just a letter. Okay. And keep that in mind, because sometimes that throws us, we think it actually stopped there. And it says, therefore, and you can go figure out what therefore is therefore. If you ever see the word therefore, you got to look back and say, why is it therefore? And you can try to figure that one out. It's a little tough. Therefore, you have no excuse. Every one of you passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. Isn't this interesting? If you judge somebody for something, you're condemning yourself. You're condemning yourself. Man, think about that when you judge that car in front of you that just pulled into your lane too fast. Remember the six C's? By the way, the six C's could be summarized by grumbling. I don't know. When I get aware of this stuff, then I'm really aware of other people doing it. Man, just if you really listen, just grumble, 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 grumble. Why did they do that? Why did they build that? Why did they put that there? What kind of color is that for a house? Just every kind of opinion about everything. If you find yourself grumbling, guess what? You're condemning yourself. You're taking on this attitude of a disregarded mind and heart. Seriously, it's doing major damage to you to judge people. It's not the fact that they don't deserve the judgment. Your judgment may be right, but when you judge them, you condemn yourself, and you literally are putting yourself into this category of Cain, of not feeling approved. I think I said enough there. Don't underestimate the desire of sin to take you out. And grumbling will take you out. Take you out. Yeah, but what about them? What about them? You're not going to fix them. You're not their savior. You're not going to change them. What's this grumbling going to do for you? Absolutely nothing positive, but a whole lot negative. Yeah, but it's fun. That's the problem. It is fun on the flesh to grumble. It is a joy to complain and compare and to, yeah, okay, John, that's enough. I think they got it. But it'll take you the rest of your life to figure that out, to keep strong, won't it? Me too. Therefore, every one of you is without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. Do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now here's verse 4. Grab hold of this. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience? Do you disesteem? Do you not grasp how awesome the riches? The word riches there actually means riches, like money, or any good thing, just an abundance. Do you lightly regard the riches of his kindness? His character and his behavior of being good and having goodness. Do you lightly regard that, the riches of God's kindness and his tolerance? I mean, everybody's telling everybody how bad, how mad God is. And read your Bible, please. His tolerance is way more than yours. I'm pretty tolerant sometimes. But man, I don't come close to him. So anytime you've been tolerant of your spouse, of somebody, of your pastor, somebody, you just had to tolerate. Understand this, he will always exceed you abundantly beyond that. You cannot beat his tolerance. He will beat you every time. He is tolerant. And the next word, you know, is almost the same word in patience. It means just, he will suffer a long time. He's not impatient. He's not impatient with the world. We are, but he is. He is tolerant of these things, of evil things that are going on. He is patient about these things. Do not consider this lightly, the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, because you're not knowing, it goes on to say, that the kindness of God leads. That word lead means to, it's the Greek word ago, isn't it? A-G-O, ago. To lead by laying hold of. He leads, he grabs a hold of us and leads us to repentance. I know we were talking about a little bit last week. Man, the repentance is such a great thing. We looked at it as such a negative. Oh, I'm so sorry I did that. That's a real small part of it. That's the first part. But after that, your whole life to be blessed, to increase, is by repentance. It just means you start changing your opinion and your view of everything. You stop having an opinion, and it goes into the word glory, God's opinion. You start your glory and your opinion, man, if you want to be proud of it, well, I just don't put up with that kind of stuff. Man, that's your glory, that's your opinion. And go ahead and have that, and you're going to judge everybody according to that, and then you're going to condemn yourself, and you're going to go downhill, and you're not going to receive the blessings and the kindness, because when you do that, you cancel out what he wants to do in your life. If you say, Lord, I want to repent today. I want to see things differently than I've ever seen before. Today, I want to throw away my opinion that I've had since I was a little boy. The opinion I had that my grandmother installed and put inside of me. My opinion that's been for four generations we've been believing this one. Youngest boy, you just want to get an attitude of just saying, oh, come on, God, help me, lead me, grab me, get a hold of me, drag me into repentance. That I can just see things differently. You know, that's contrary to our flesh, isn't it? We want to hold on to everything we've ever. We're proud of the things that we believe in. But God says, man, don't consider my patience and my tolerance and my kindness lightly, because it will lead you, it'll bring you into repentance, and repentance is renewing your mind, starting seeing things the way God sees things, and all of a sudden, man, now you're a powerhouse. And before, you were a death trap, caught a law of sin and death had got a hold of you, and it was just a matter of time for everything to fall apart, and now you're walking in the spirit of life and power, and there's a river of living water starting to flow out of you. To everybody around you. Hallelujah. Doesn't that sound great? Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah.
The scripture kind of comes to mind to me is, that's impossible. Without God. That's impossible for me to change. It's embedded in me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's things you've wanted to change for years and you just can't get it done. Oh God, lead us into repentance. And it's through your incredible love. And so how do you get that? Well, first of all, you got to get this good relationship going with him if you're going to receive his kindness. You got to start saying, wow, I get up in the morning. See, the only problem I have with Eric Lindell's statement is, when I run, I feel his pleasure. The only problem I got with that is, what if you don't run? I couldn't run to please him today. I can barely get a jog out. It's not our running. It's not our good works. It's not our hard effort that pleases him. It's our simple faith.
Amen.
I believe you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I trust you. I've asked forgiveness and you've forgiven me.
Yes.
And now I'm perfect in your sight and you actually adore me. And when I wake up in the morning, you're happy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I woke up grumpy the other morning.
You know
how it's going. Oh my, I mean, it's impossible for you and I to hit this mark without this. And the only way we're going to hit it is if we start really putting some weight and significance to his kindness, his goodness, his tolerance, his forbearance. Just start magnifying that. Just say, he is so amazing. He just doesn't get frustrated. He's always patient with me. And everybody else. By the way, that'll help you start condemning the car in front of you. You'll just get to where you go, I don't think I want to say that anymore. God bless you. May the angels be about you so you don't wreck. Instead of the other things we say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you and adore you, and we're asking, lead us into repentance. Somehow, God, break through the power of our own negative flesh and our own opinions and our own viewpoints of life, and let us just feel your pleasure when we wake up in the morning, when we lay our head down, when we make our own mistakes. May we just feel that you are so pleased, because as little children, we say we believe in you. We believe in the story about Jesus coming and dying for us, and exchanging his life for ours, and we now have life in us, and we're no longer dead, but we're alive, and there's rivers of living water coming out of us, and it pleases you. And Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Because we're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And there's a desire deep within our hearts that you place there in eternity. It is a desire to win, and to be powerful, and to have an impact on this universe of good and not evil. So be it, God. We believe in you. Amen. Amen. Amen.